Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Borough Market Podcast, where we stroll around London's oldest food market each week to chat to the traders and producers to find the stories behind the stalls. This week we meet London Bee entrepreneur Curtis Thompson, or the local honeyman as he calls himself. I asked him where the name comes from.
It all started in the local area. We were serving customers locally. We were producing local honey, so for me it just made sense. I was the man behind producing local honey for the local people, so why not? Let's call it Local Honey Man.
You're pretty urban. I wouldn't have looked at you and thought, yep, honey.
Yes, I get told that quite a lot. Originally, I started in finance, went to university, done a degree in economics, then went into investment banking in Canary Wharf. But it was my uncle who developed an interest for me and a passion in honeybees. My uncle started in Hackney Nature Reserve. He had one box of bees. He was producing honey very much on a small scale. He then went to three hives. He took me down to my first hive when I was maybe 15. My uncle is an old school beekeeper, so he doesn't wear any protective gear. He's sort of at one with the bees. And me being a 15-year-old boy, he was expecting me to do the same. So he took me down there.
And did you?
I did. My heart was pounding.
So how many stings does it take before you can become a proper beekeeper then?
I think my record is probably 15 stings. 15 stings, and you feel quite sort of on a semi-high. Because of all the venom rushing through your blood.
Yeah. Good feeling for a 15-year-old boy in Hackney then.
yeah, you could say that.
So you're down there with your uncle and you're going into the bees. And what did you find other than the natural high?
Well, the first thing that I found very amazing was the heat that was coming out of the hive. And the bees operate a temperature of between 30 and 32 degrees in the beehive. So when outside is maybe 20, 22, you put your hand in, you can feel a big temperature difference. That was something that amazed me. My uncle asked me to retrieve some brace comb from the bottom of the beehive, which is basically honeycomb that's fallen to the bottom. I put my hand in, there's bees crawling over my hand. I was literally about to say, Uncle, no, I can't do this. I need to go to the toilet, sort of thing. But I done it, got there in the end, loved it. I was fascinated from then. And then I've sort of taken more of an interest in bees, more of an interest, and then sort of grown it up. And the rest is history, so to speak. Now we have Local Honey Man.
Well, let's fill in some of those gaps. You've got beautiful 3-jar gift box. It's lovely packaging. It all feels very sort of natural, though. You've got soaps, you've got honey, you've got all sorts of different products.
But my uncle, he wasn't very commercially minded, so it was very just much on a small scale sort of hobby. Yeah. I took over those 3 hives, saw the potential of it, and the bees just started to grow from there.
Fantastic. So you came out of university with an economics degree?
Yes, and then went straight into investment banking. I wanted to follow my passion, whereas sort of banking, investment banking, that was very much my career, and it never lived up to my aspirations and to my dreams. It's very much a cold industry, so I knew my way around money, so to speak, and finance, and I saw there's a viable opportunity here. The passion for the bees, it is my real motivation. That's what gets me out of bed in the morning, and that's what enabled me to actually start Local Honey Man. Yeah. How can I say no to that?
Fantastic. And, you know, let's be honest, there's not a lot of young black men in Hackney looking after bees,
no. I like your honesty, and it is, it's very true. For me growing up, bees, honey. It was never something that I was exposed to growing up in Hackney in London.
What did your friends say?
Crazy, mad, along those lines.
But passion is a universal thing, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes, it's the passion. It's the passion that attracted me. And it's something different as well. It's not everybody can raise honeybees and produce honey successfully.
I asked him how honeymaking has changed since he was that teenager in Hackney Nature Reserve.
The type of beekeeping that we do, all of the honey is produced on frames. It has a layer of beeswax inside the structure, and then the bees draw it out and they deposit honey in there, and then they seal it with a layer of wax. And we then take that from the hive back to the honey room and put it into a centrifuge extractor, spin the honey out, and then watch it flow out of the tap. It's quite an amazing process to witness.
I bet. So there's some kind of level of industrialisation there. But when you were 15, take us back to that process. Was that what your uncle was doing way back then?
No, he was doing it the good old-fashioned way. So taking out a piece of honeycomb that the bees have deposited honey in, and then just using the back of a spoon and pressing the honey out, putting it through a sieve and then straight into the jar.
Like people have been doing for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yes, yes, but that is not... it's not feasible to do that on a big way.
Right, so you come along with your economic sensibility and you turn that lovely passion and that industry, that home... spun industry into something that's much more sustainable and that you can get out and start selling on the stores.
Yes, and so we can bring our raw British honey to people in a bigger way, and so that we're able to expand our reach into the amount of people that are able to make use of this wonderful food source.
But it's more than just a taste for honey that keeps the customers coming.
Talk me through some of these different products.
We produce and supply a range of different honeys. One is the heather honey. We actually took some bees up to the Yorkshire Moors to actually produce the heather, because it's only grown in Yorkshire and the north of the UK. But the heather flower doesn't grow in Hackney, and we had a lot of interest and demand for heather honey, because heather honey, it's very different to all the other honeys that you can produce in London.
And people like heather honey, don't they?
Yes.
They know the name. It's something that you actually can get in supermarkets. So maybe that's a way into maybe kind of different types of honey.
Yes, possibly. But we very much pride ourselves on producing a raw British honey. Generally, what you find in supermarkets is pasteurised honey, which means that they've taken honey from all corners of the world, put it into a massive container and boiled it, so to speak, to create colour consistency and taste consistency. Here at Local Honey Man, we do the opposite of that. We take honey directly from the beehive and into the jar, so it's very much a natural product, very much a raw natural product, and it hasn't undergone any pasteurisation or blending or adding any nasties, so to speak.
So it's better for you?
100% better for you. We have a lot of customers that swear by our honey in terms of how it's helped their immune system and their digestive system.
How many people kind of come to your stall interested in its medicinal properties? How many people know about that?
I would say probably 70% of our customers come to the stall and that know about the medicinal properties that honey has. That's why they're so interested in a local, raw British honey, as opposed to sugar syrup that you can get in the supermarkets, yeah, which they call honey.
What's the tincture?
Well, propolis, what the tincture's made from, the bees produce propolis from tree resin. It's very good for throats, infections. It has a lot of antibacterial properties, similar to honey.
I use it all the time. In fact, I noticed you've got some bee pollen there
which my
daughter is taking every day in her cheeks.
Yes, very good for your immune system.
It's not very nice to eat, though.
No. It's the opposite of honey in terms of taste, what it does to your taste buds.
Yes, because it's quite sort of...
not really nice.
Yeah.
Whereas the honey is very nice.
Which is more important, taste or the medicinal qualities?
The taste, the colour, consistency, we can't guarantee that. Because it's a totally natural product, we're at the mercy of nature. And nature doesn't care about it being the same colour or the same taste, which is what we've become accustomed to in supermarkets. So our customer base really appreciate that. Every jar is going to be slightly different, because every beehive is different, every area is different.
So you need to be a little bit of a connoisseur in the first place, or somebody who's just really interested in trying out new products.
Yeah. yes, a connoisseur, someone who's interested in trying new products, and somebody who also actually cares about their health and where their food's actually coming from, because there's a lot of traceability with us as well. We can actually track exactly where the honey's come from. We have different types of honeys as well. We have a rapeseed honey, a borage honey, and a golden honey. The golden honey, the bees are fed from a variety of different wildflowers. The rapeseed honey, bees have fed from the oilseed rape crop, which is the yellow fields. When you're driving through the countryside, you see fields of yellow flowers. That's the oilseed rape. And the bees really like those flowers, because those flowers produce a lot of nectar. And the honey that they produce, it's special. It's different. It's got a thick, creamy consistency. And it's really white, which is something that you don't really associate when you think of your typical honey. This is our raw golden honey. This honey is very special. It's produced in Hackney Nature Reserve, where we actually started. There's a variety of wildflowers, and because it's a nature reserve, the variation of flowers, it's really remarkable, especially the taste as well. It doesn't taste like anything that you've had before in terms of honey.
So I'm going to try this, and what am I going to taste? 'Cause
you're going to taste heaven.
I can't wait.
Another byproduct of the bees producing honey is they produce beeswax. Beeswax has a range of different uses. We currently use beeswax for making candles, salts, and lip balms. We started making our candles and lip balms in-house. We work with a lot of other companies that use our beeswax in some of their cosmetic products.
And in terms of sustainability, you know, you call yourself a bee entrepreneur. How important is the issue of sustainability, the future of bees, to you?
Well, one major side of our company as well is about breeding and raising honeybees. So we actually sell bees, teach people beekeeping, because we're trying to help develop the awareness around bees and why people should keep bees, and that bees are not the scary insect that everyone thinks, that okay, I'm gonna have a beehive and they're gonna sting me to death. No, we need to look after bees, we need to plant more flowers, we need to look after our environment so that the bees have got food to eat and trees and plants to pollinate, because without the bees, as a human race, we would be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, and very quickly as well.
But I think Einstein has predicted 4 years after the bees die out, the human race will die out, because I think 70% of our food is actually pollinated via the bees.
That's an extraordinary thing, isn't it? But also, I think that isn't it just about our connection with nature? You know, once you let the bees die, you're not buying food that's created by the bees. You lose that connection with nature.
Yes, you do. And I think that's something that shouldn't occur, and we really don't want that to occur.
Things like, you know, people pave over their front garden so that they have somewhere to park their cars, for example, rather than have a beautiful front garden full of flowers and stuff.
Yes, well, I would suggest always plant as many flowers as you can, as many bee-friendly flowers, and diversify. Don't just plant one type of flower, plant many different types of flowers, because it's not just food for the honeybees, it's for bumblebees, it's for solitary bees, it's for butterflies, it's for the environment as a whole, not just necessarily concentrated on honeybees.
Yeah, it's about the whole ecosystem, isn't it? And tell me about being in Borough Market. It's a very cold midwinter day, but we are surrounded by amazing producers, amazing stallholders. Tell me what it's like for you to be at Borough Market.
Borough Market is very special because it's one of the oldest, most well-known markets. So being here, it's really an honour.
Is that a pun?
No pun intended.
And being a trader at Borough isn't just about the kudos of being part of London's oldest market, but about being able to work with other great producers.
We have plans to team up with another company called the Greedy Goat. They produce an ice cream. We think it would be really good to produce a raw local honey ice cream. Also with the cake stand that's situated very close to us, we'd also like to give them our honey so they can make some sort of honey cake or honey biscuit along those lines. So I think it's really good to have these interesting producers so close to us, because we can all collaborate and sort of establish our businesses together.
And kind of keep the food miles down as well.
Yes, in keeping the carbon footprint down, which is something that is very key to looking after the environment and making sure that we are producing things sustainably.
Are you still using your uncle's Hackney bees?
Yes, we still have bees in the Hackney Nature Reserve. Those boxes are still there and doing very well. They have grown and sent out many swarms to the local area, so there's a lot of people in the area that have bees that actually originated from my uncle, maybe was it 15 years ago now.
And Curtis still has a childlike fascination with those bees.
Inside the hive, there are three different types of bees. You have the worker bees, which are the female, which they go out and do all the work. And then you have a queen. There's only one queen per colony. And then you have drones. And drones are the male bees. The only function of the drones is to mate with the queen and eat honey. That's the only function. Tell me about it. Once the autumn season kicks in, so around about the August, September time, all of the female worker bees round up all of the drone male bees and eject them from the hive.
It's tough in a hive.
And so if you're ever around a beehive coming towards the autumn season, you will see the bees fighting at the entrance, ejecting all of the drones out, and unfortunately all the drones are left to die on the grass.
I've got an image of this 15-year-old sort of staring, lying in the grass yourself, watching the life of a bee. Is that what you did?
Yes, and it was just amazing. It was fascinating. And just to look at the bees ejecting the drones, you would think, why would you do that? And then I looked into it more, done some more research, and it's just really fascinating, the whole world of bees.
Yeah, it's been a long journey for you. You're here now, you're successful, you're in Borough Market. How do you feel about taking that passion and making it into something that is really working for you?
I really feel honoured and to be able to work with my passion and day to day. But I also really don't want to lose sight of the reason why I started this company. And it wasn't necessarily to have to create a big business or to create a lot of money. It was really to provide raw honey for everybody, so everyone's health can benefit from that. And also to give back to the environment, because one of our mission statements is to help reverse the decline of the honeybee. So us breeding and raising honeybees, selling bees to people, it's all giving back into the environment, pushing more honeybees out.
Roll up! Come and get your grapes today!
Thanks for listening to the Borough Market Podcast. You can find much more about the traders and the market by going to boroughmarket.org.uk. And while you're there, do subscribe to the podcast. We'll see you next week for more stories behind the stores at London's most famous market.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.